Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is the Tyler Morgan Show on Relentless Daring Media Network.
Welcome back to Land of Bourbon and Bad Decisions. This is the Tyler Morgan Show live on twitch.tv/Tyler Morgan Show. Or maybe you're checking this out on the YouTubes, youtube.com/@TheTylerMorganShow. I don't know why there's an at in there. That's just YouTube's thing. So, hey, cool. Go for it. If you're watching there on YouTube, be sure to hit the like and or the subscribe button. Hit the bell for notifications. That way you know when you're getting all the new episodes. Oh, my goodness. So, before I get into the craziness of what's going on right now, well, there's a lot of craziness. I'm just going to go through some hand-selected craziness to be able to discuss. But before I get into it, let me tell you about beard oil. Yes, if you're seeing this on the YouTube or the Rumbles, you're seeing this nice, luscious beard. You're seeing, yeah, maybe a little bit gray mixed in there, but you know what? It's all right. I'm almost 40 years old, getting a little gray in the beard. You know, my hair, as it's coming in, it's starting to get a little gray in the temples. Yeah, it is what it is. But for my beard, if I want to keep it looking nice and lush and soft so it's not scratchy and itchy, spending my days just digging at my face because it just itches so bad. That's why I use beard oil. Not only that, I use Blue Collar Beardsman beard oil. And let me tell you, they're already starting to advertise their new scent for the September scent of the month. If you are a subscriber, it is Kentucky Coal Miner. The Kentucky Coal Miner beard oil will have notes of bourbon, vanilla, and wood barrels. So check it out. You subscribe, you will get the upcoming scent of the month. And every month you will get a special scent. So check that out. And if you use the promo code subscribe, you will save 25% off your first month. So, what, $25 a month, knock four something off of it. You know, it's worth saving some money. And like I said, you know, Kentucky bourbon, vanilla, and oak barrels. I mean, who can't handle smell a little whiskey under your nose all day? So check it out, bluecollarbeardsman.com. So many great things. Check them out. It's awesome. All right, so before I get really into what I was wanting to look at with, craziness of what's going on in the music world. Today, I shared a video on the Twitters. It was from, sorry, my PC is deciding to make noises. So I shared a video on Twitter today from UFC fighter Natan Levy. He is a Jewish fighter, and when I say Jewish, I mean he's from Israel, and he had some things to say about particular deniers of the Holocaust online, specifically Nick Fuentes. Anyone who follows Nick Fuentes, right or wrong, he does not believe the Holocaust happened. He believes it was the Germans really didn't kill that many Jews. And Jews are bad and blah, blah, blah. And bunch of crap. anti-Semitic, he hates women, Christian white nationalism is the way to go. Yeah. He's genuinely not a great guy. So when Natan Levy was talking about, you know, how bad this is, that's when all the Fuentes followers, the Groypers, if you will, they start attacking him. And someone jumped into his DMs and say, hey, you know what? I will defend Nick Fuentes' honor in the octagon against you. And Natan is like, cool, let's do it. When you want to show up. Well, I'll be coming through town this weekend. Let's do it then. All right, cool. So the guy shows up. And when he gets there, you know, he's greeted by Natan and, you know, okay, so tell me about Nick Fuentes and, you know, your opinions on the Holocaust and blah, 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 blah. And then they get him alone and this guy's like, yeah, you know, Twitter's not real life, blah, 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 you know. But I think I've got the weight, I've got the reach, I'm a striker, you know, taekwondo and karate, I've got my black belt, blah, 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 blah. Okie dokie. What he didn't have was the skill or talent to take on a UFC fighter. Because within seconds, okay, for a 5-minute round, within 1 minute, Natan has him on the ground and puts him in a submission hold, and the dude taps out. And it just keeps going. So, okay, we'll try it again. And you know, Natan, he's holding back. You could tell he is in this video that he is not going out of his way to completely break the dude's face. But you see him holding back has a lot of force. And so you can see what I'm doing. So you can see the video. I will have it in the show notes, you know, for either on podcast, on YouTube, whatever. That way you can link to it and you can see, you know, you can watch the video yourself. Because I want to give Natan, you know, all the credit. I want, if you're watching me, listening to me, I want to give him views because, hey, it's his content. I want you to see it. So, this dude, he thinks he did so good.
At least I got a few good blows in.
No, you didn't. And all the guys who are training in the gym with Natan, come on, Benny, come on, you can do it. They're like fake cheering him on because the dude's just down and, you know, Natan's got his legs wrapped around his head and Natan will twist and he'll start punching the dude right in the stomach, going for the kidney shots. It's hilarious to watch because, again, this goes back to what I was talking about last week with the guy who was killed by the FBI in Utah. People on Twitter and on other social medias, they say stuff that knowing they won't get punched in the mouth. There will not be a physical altercation from talking smack. Now, this guy, he was challenged, and he accepted. Except that his wee little fingers got on that keyboard and started writing checks that his ass could not cash. And then, because I shared this video, and I tagged Natan in it on Twitter, oh my God, the anti-Semites have been coming out in full force. It's just like, bah! See some of the reactions I've had. And I have been reporting them because no one likes an anti-Semite except other anti-Semites. Do-do-do-do-do. See, from account... That was more staged than the Jesse Smollett incident. Oh, why don't you step into the octagon with him if it was so staged? Then this base groper.
Ha, ha, ha. What do I get out of it? You guys could beat up 6 million fat gingers. It wouldn't change the fact. The event didn't happen.
They're denying that it happened because... Let's see here. Jews not having a perverted control fetish. Challenge impossible. See, that is from at VanceNation888 on Twitter. If you'd like to find him and see how awesome he is. And then the people attacking Natan because they have nothing better to do. It's ridiculous. These guys keep going on and on and on because, again, they're not at risk of being punched in the face. If they were to walk up to Natan in real life and start talking all this crap about Jews and how Jews are so bad, they would absolutely be getting punched in the face. Well, I say absolutely. Natan seems like a very nice and gracious guy. During the video, he does make mention of the fact that education is painful sometimes. I think he would have been perfectly happy just having a conversation with this fat kid. When I say fat, I mean, you know, he seemed like a guy, he's got a lot of muscle underneath the fat. But I think he would be just as happy having a conversation. Hey, why do you feel this way? What about this guy so speaks to you that you feel the absolute need that you have to come in here and defend his honor? Because like a lot of people who find themselves in these roles, you know, Nick Fuentes, he's a smooth talker, he's charismatic, and he gets those that might not necessarily be the brightest. Well, okay, I don't want to say that. And I don't want to make it feel like all of Nick Fuentes' followers are dumb. Because every cult leader has somehow managed to get some rather smart and super intelligent people to follow them. And he speaks to something in these people that they feel has been neglected, that connects with them in a certain way, and usually it starts with something small. And then it's like, oh, okay, yeah, you're speaking my language there, and over time, they just kind of get sucked into it. There's a lot of people who left the People's Temple, you know, when it was still in San Francisco, before it took off for Guyana, and Jim Jones convinced 900 people to commit suicide or, you know, be assisted in unaliving themselves. These people, they find a weakness that can be exploited, and it seems like it happens all the time. And it's not necessarily a left-wing or right-wing thing. I mean, granted, the People's Temple, yeah, it was very left-wing. They were practically communist. Then, you know, Nick Fuentes, he feeds off, you know, I don't want to call it right-wing because it's European right-wing where, you know, you have the status bird and the right-wing is more the state will control you, but we'll give you the illusion of freedom, whereas the left wing in Europe is the state will control you. There is no illusion of freedom. The state controls all of business. It controls all of the manufacturing, all the farming, all the distribution, all the housing. You don't get any property. That's left wing. Right wing, like I said, European. European right wing. European right wing, which is the guys like Nick Fuentes, David Duke, all these, you know, far right extremists that the Southern Poverty Law Center wants to keep going on and on about. Those guys who are the race hustlers and all they want to do is, you know, incite riots against blacks and Jews and whoever else. They're the right wing. You can own your own house. You can own your own property. You can own your own business. But when the government says jump, you will say how high on the way up. And if you don't, well, then you're going to lose your business, your house, your land, your car, whatever. The state will take it then and we'll give it to someone who is more willing to work with us. It's more, feels more like a mafia cartel. But yeah, that's insanity. And I've already burned through a bigger chunk of the first segment than I expected, but okay, I want to get into some music industry stuff because we all love Queen. Okay, a lot of us love Queen. There's some people who are classless whores. We'll just say that. They're classless whores. They do not like Queen. They're like, oh, yes, yeah, just big stadium glam rock. It is not that good, blah, blah, blah. Well, I mean, their lead guitarist was a freaking astrophysicist. Granted, he completed his degree in astrophysics there. I had to stop and think for a second. His degree in astrophysicism. He completed his degree in astrophysics a ways after they stopped recording, but that's neither here nor there. Brian May used to build his own pickups because there was a sound he wanted, and you know what? If I build my pickups this exact way, or then no matter what guitar I put in, I'm going to get that sound. There's a lot of live guitarists who do that, or they contract out to guitar companies or to pickup manufacturers to make a pickup that's like, okay, that is, I love that sound. That is my unique sound. I'm going to put this in every guitar I have. Okay, it's cool. Well, Brian May, he wrote an amazing scientific theory early in his astrophysicist career where he theorized that the gravitation of large posterior women is what created the rotation of the Earth. You may better know as fat bottom girls make this rockin' world go round. Well, there is a music service, I think Yoto, Y-O-T-O, they're getting ready to release the greatest hits of Queen. Well, they did release it, except they left out fat-bottomed girls. Now, it's not like this is a song that was kind of kitschy and it was kind of big for a little while and then disappeared. No, this is a song that everybody knows. I mean, I've heard country music singers perform Fat Bottom Girls. I've heard heavy metal bands. There's a heavy metal band called Small Town Titans. They have an amazing cover of Fat Bottom Girls. So everybody knows this song. This is, You know, and it's kind of cheeky. And Brian May, when talking about the song, it's like he admits that it's a cheeky song. And it's a kind of a lighthearted, you know, jab at people who are into girls with who are a little bit thicker, in reference to, you know, Freddie Mercury, guys who might be a little thicker. So, I mean, there's nothing bad about the song. It's not fat shaming. If anything, in the world of fat affirmation and body positivity, we should be amplifying fat bottom girls. Because why wouldn't we? I mean, we have FatCon. Yeah, there was a FatCon, Fat Convention, that celebrates big women and big men. Why? Do they not play Fat Bottom Girls? I mean, just because Freddie Mercury sang about being alone with Big Fat Fanny, who was such a naughty nanny. I mean, what adolescent boy who, oh my gosh, or even pre-adolescent, didn't have a babysitter at some point, or just an older girl in general, they kind of, you know, had fantasies about? I know. That classic idea of what beauty is, but, you know, she's a little thicker. You know, maybe it's a little bit more curvy. And, you know, hadn't thought about, you know, it'd be kind of nice to, you know, get some time alone with her. I mean, Fountains of Wayne, Stacy's mom. From the point of view of, like, a 12-year-old boy, you know, fantasizing about Stacy's mom. And, you know, while it doesn't discuss the size or shape of Stacy's mom, I would imagine as a kind of a cougarish woman, she might be a little bit more full-figured. But again, in a world with body positivity and fat shaming is bad, you have to accept that she's bigger. You have to accept that guy, yeah, he might weigh 1,000 pounds because he ate everything in sight for 30 years, but you can't say there's anything bad about him being 1,000 pounds. Why would they go out of their way to take fat bottom girls off? It makes no freaking sense. Oh, now I got myself all worked up over a song, man. And as far as the insanity of the music industry goes, last week I also talked about the Oliver Anthony song that has been blowing up. And in a matter of days, he went from unknown to having like three of the top five, at least three of the top 10 songs on iTunes. Songs are recorded on his phone and uploaded to iTunes. I mean, damn. And the left has been coming after the song, just ripping it apart.
It's a bunch of right-wing QAnon conspiracy. I mean, talking about millionaires and miners on islands. It's obviously a Jeffrey Epstein.
Oh, shut up. And discussing it and making it sound like they're all right-wing complaints. I'm sorry. I would love to have him on, but he is making the decision. He doesn't want to do anything political because he doesn't want his music to be politicized to the right, to the left. If it speaks to both sides, if you watch all of the reaction videos to this song on YouTube, I mean, you have people of all races, ages, backgrounds. You know, I've seen videos where you have some pretty left-wing stuff in the background and the people are reacting to it exactly the same way with the same emotions as the guy with the, you know, very patriotic, I think there's a MAGA flag in the background. because it speaks the same language. And as I said 100 times, in America, it doesn't matter if you're left or right. You see the same problems. And it comes down to, should we fix it this way? Should we fix it that way? The majority of problems in America, the solutions, become the problem. Should we, and not even necessarily the solutions, but, okay, we both agree this situation's bad. We want it to be over here. How do we get there? It's the how. How do we fix it is the thing. And between, you know, you and I, you know, everyday Americans, we can sit and we can bicker about, well, I think, you know, we should the government have more of an influence? Should the government have less of an influence? Should we have laws that do X, Y, and Z? Should we have laws that stop A, B, and C? But a lot of times, and Richmond, north of Virginia, points out, these people up there, they don't care. Because, yeah, you know, there's all these problems you're seeing, but as long as we stay in power, that's the only thing that matters. But, you know, in wokeness and even in the country music, I mean, Maren Morris and, you know, what she had to say about Jason Aldean's wife. Kelsey Ballerini dancing with the drag queens at the CMA Awards. And Tyler Childers, I like his music because it's very soulful, and it's something you really don't hear. It's a style you don't hear a lot of on country radio. And I'm not saying that like it's a bad thing. I mean, it's very stripped down and, you know, country music as it was 50 years ago or maybe even 60 years ago. But, I mean, you know, they make the video to, was it Live in Your Love? In Your Love? I really don't know. But this video, and apparently the song itself is about two gay coal miners from Kentucky back in the 50s. I'm sorry. I didn't realize that gay coal miners from Kentucky were an underrepresented class that needed to have songs written about them when it could just be a generic love song. But no, legitimately, that is the story of the song. It's not just, you know, a man and a woman who want to be together. It's ridiculous. I remember when there's another country singer, I think Ty Herndon, who he came out as gay back in the, I don't know, early or in the mid 2000s. And he was kind of a big deal back in the early to mid 90s. He had a few hit songs and it didn't really go anywhere, but you know, he wasn't exactly a one hit wonder either. And then I remember when he came out as gay, he got divorced and said, I'm gay. Yeah. I've been married all this time. A lot of these issues come down to it's me and I like men. That's who I want to be romantically involved with is men. Okay, cool. But then you have to stop and go, wow, that really gives some of these songs an entirely new meaning when you go back and you look at it from that frame of reference. The song Steam references, business in the back of a car and the windows kind of fog up. When I was a teenage boy, that song is about a guy and a girl. So now I'm suddenly going, I'm not attracted to guy-on-guy action, and I really can't listen to this song anymore. Now, I'm sure there's people going, you're a homophobe. I'm like, it's not that I'm a homophobe. If two dudes want to go make out in the backseat of the car, fine. They want to go do their thing in the backseat of the car, fine, go for it. That's your business. I don't want any part of it. I don't want to watch. I don't want to participate. Just, no. But, yeah, the music industry is getting so freaking crazy. And, fat bottom girls is not fat shaming. It is body positivity. Sorry about that. Apparently, I'm hitting all the wrong buttons and dropping my phone. And hitting my head on the shelf of all the crazy things. Okay, so before I get into the topic of this hour, I don't know if I can pull a whole hour on this topic, but before I get into this portion of the show, let me talk to you about one of my favorite beverages. Not any of these delicious nectars above my head, but coffee. Yes, or as my Brooklyn friend likes to say, quaffy. Coffee is by far one of the greatest drinks in the world. It gives you energy, and aside from the caffeine that's a diuretic and dehydrates you, it's mostly water. So you get this weird thing, you drink water, but the caffeine makes you burn through it. I'm just hitting everything. So my favorite coffee, though, has to be from American Pride Roasters. They have so many great flavors, and they pay tribute to so many of our founding fathers. You have George Washington, the Thomas Jefferson, Thomas Paine, John Adams. They even pay homage to the great Hamilton Burr Duel. That's right. Check out all their amazing flavors at aprcoffee.com. Historically, great coffee. All right, so getting into this last topic of the evening, if I can get to the right thing on my phone. So, the Senate has been doing their best to move colonels and, Army colonels, Air Force colonels, Marine colonels, and Navy captains. Yeah, because Navy has to be weird. Their full bird officer has to be a captain versus, versus a colonel. I know it's old Admiralty ranks. What you gonna do about it? What in the Sam heck is going on? There is something jumping around behind the screen. I have no clue what it is. Very peculiar. But anyways, before I was so rudely interrupted by whatever it was jumping behind my screen, and you'll probably see it on the YouTube. Find around the 34-minute mark. So, usually what happens when you have flag officers that need filled, you get these colonels and captains promoted to one-star general, one-star admiral. They take a list of names to the Senate, And then usually what happens is the Senate goes, all right, so unanimous consent vote, do we all want to do it? And the majority of the time, unanimous consent, yeah, we'll do it. Then, well, Senator Tommy Tuberville has decided that, you know what, no. End of just unanimous consent. We take all these people we know nothing about other than, you know, the Centralized Promotion Board has put their names forward for promotion to Brigadier General or whatever one-star admiral is called. And we put it up. And we're going to look at them individually. Well, this is from PJ Media. Kevin Downey at PJ Media. White people suck again. This time from Biden's white Air Force nominee. There are currently almost 300 military officers awaiting promotion by the U.S. Senate. Rather than give a look-see to each individual up for promotion, busy senators typically give what's called unanimous consent to an entire group of officers at the same time. Not so fast. Rob Bluey of the Daily Signal reported Thursday things are changing. So this is kind of an old article. I can't even see the date on it. Well, I've gotten reader mode, that's why I can't see the article. But anyways, Rob Bluey of the Daily Signal reported Thursday things are changing. Senator Tommy Tuberville, Republican from Alabama, has been hitting the bat shoot on that for a while. He prefers to look into each officer individually, at least till the Defense Department repeals its abortion policy, which is funded by taxpayer money. Which it's weird. We have this rule that if we give foreign aid to foreign governments, it cannot be used for abortion. And Medicare and Medicaid money can't be used for abortion. But TRICARE money, which TRICARE, for those of you who don't know, is the generalized term for the military insurance, can be used so service members and their dependents can get abortions. They were willing to pay money for them to travel if they're in a state that does not offer abortions to a state that does, so they can have the abortion. And so Tommy Tuberville is saying, no. We're not playing this game. Also important, Tuberville is not a fan of wokeness in the military. Nor am I as a veteran, and I'm very glad I got out when I did. I know there are some great leaders who are on TikTok and use that platform to show the shenanigans, the hijinks that goes on in the military, but at the same time, inform the general public about life in the military. And they, maybe they're at levels where they don't see it, or because of the fact they're still in, they kind of have to roll back their opinions because despite, you know, not being in uniform or what have you, it would look bad on the military if they said their honest opinions. And the military is very big on, if you are currently in the military, you don't give your honest opinion, we will come after you. But neither here nor there. Enter United States Air Force Colonel Benjamin Johnson. He was nominated by President Biden to be promoted to Brigadier General. Colonel Johnson is white and woke. Colonel Johnson believes the problem with the Air Force is white colonels like himself, but not really him, just the other white colonels. After the death of Saintly George Floyd, Johnson penned an article for the Air Force Times calling out his fellow Caucasian USAF colonels. As white colonels, you and I are the biggest barriers to change if we do not personally address racial injustice in our Air Force, Colonel Johnson began. The letter reeks of being written by a haughty, green-haired, virtue-signaling white kid who attends high school in an affluent neighborhood. Defensiveness is a predictable response by white people to any discussion of racial injustice, Colonel Justice Warrior continued. White colonels are no exception. We are largely blind to institutional racism, and we take offense to any suggestion that our system advances us over at the expense of others. Factorama. This is actually a paragraph that says, Factorama. Though devoted to crushing what he sees as racist white colonels, Johnson ignores this article from the Air and Space Forces magazine that came out 1 month before George Floyd died, detailing the 1,683 sexual assaults in the USAF that took place in 2019. On cue, Johnson assumes his pulpit and makes the other white people uncomfy. That I addressed this letter to white colonels made many of you uneasy, and we have seen similar white defensiveness play out in many of our conversations since the murder of George Floyd. Johnson righteously continued. Factorama. Various military branches removed photographs from officers' promotional packets in 2020 because they thought that they led to bias and not enough minorities being promoted. They went back to inserting photos 1 year later when they realized not enough minorities were being promoted without them. Maybe it wasn't race after all. Yeah, that's interesting because,
obviously, race is the reason. They look at these pictures and they say, oh, Lieutenant so-and-so being recommended for promotion to captain. Sergeant, Staff Sergeant so-and-so being recommended for promotion to Sergeant First Class.
Well, crap, we have, this guy's black, we can't promote him. Oh, but this guy over here, he's white, we'll promote him. That's what they thought was going on.
Meanwhile, at the centralized promotion boards,
they take the DA photos out of the packets. So it's literally just information, their biographical information, and NCO evaluations, officer evaluations. And it's just the facts. And it turns out when it's just the facts and not pictures, and there's no pictures involved, it's almost like meritocracy wins. Which, if pictures are involved and the same results as without pictures are going in, maybe it's not the pictures. Maybe it is meritocracy winning. But I digress, back to this article. Johnson goes on to explain how he hoisted his holiness onto a soapbox to discuss George Floyd's death at a restaurant that was burned down in the aftermath. He whines that two white colonels made a joke about the restaurant to ameliorate the social discomfort. And there was my producer telling me I need to cut back on making fun of him. That will never happen. I will continue to make fun of this colonel. His prophetic words caused, or maybe, just maybe, his sermon was boring enough to put them to sleep. Equity-O-Rama! In Johnson's diatribe, he capitalized the word black, but not the word white, when referring to people, proving his goal is probity, not equality. Like every narcissistic social justice warrior, Johnson tells the evil crackers how he believes they should redeem themselves and flush the inherent racism from their souls. Start by developing a game plan. A good primer to read or listen to is the short book White Fragility and Why It's So Hard for White People to Talk About Racism by Robin DiAngelo. Dear white colonels, it's time to give a damn. Aim high. You can read Johnson's obsequious homily here, and it has the link to his homily. But yeah, that's the kind of crap that is going on in the military today. You know, forget all of the LGBTQIA stuff that happens. You know, yes, it is June. It is Pride Month, and you will all be made to participate in the mandatory fun of celebrating the rainbow. Yay. And forget that. Forget, you know, the trans and, you know, on the battlefield, women on the front lines, the possibility of having women drafted. I mean, as much as a lot of people complain about that, leadership at this level, where you are now having institutional effects, which if your institutional effects are only at that level, maybe you've been doing things wrong your entire career. For instance, you try to have as much influence on as many people as you can at every level when you're serving. When I was a team leader, I would not only would I try to affect, you know, my fire team, my machine gun team, I would use my influence to make the squad better. As a squad leader, I would try to not only affect my squad, but at the platoon level. Now, I never made it to where I was a platoon sergeant trying to make positive effects and positive influence on the entire company. But where I could influence the entire elements from other parts of the company, I would. You see, racism is a moral thing. You have to do that. And I would do my personal stance when I hear people making stupid racial jokes, but hey, that's not professional. Cut it out. Whatever your personal opinions are on other people of other races, you will quash it around me. You will quash it while you're wearing my uniform. That is how you have a positive effect. You don't go and browbeat people of the same skin color because you're a self-righteous punk. And,
well, institutional racism, we've been contributing to it.
Okay, if you have been contributing to institutional racism, maybe instead of dragging everyone else down while lifting yourself up, because,
well, I see what I was doing wrong.
Okay, you see what you're doing wrong. So fix yourself. If you fix yourself because you are engaging in putting through policies and continuing policies that allow for institutional racism to take place, you are the problem. If you are not actively trying to fix it, but instead you go out and you bitch and you piss and moan and you tell other people that everything they're doing is wrong, here's why they're wrong, and you know what? The only way you can fix this is through a struggle session. Go read this book by this lady who is also white and has an entire book telling you why white people are bad. If that's how you are working to fix the institutional issues in the military, you are doing it wrong. There was a time when I went through boot camp way, 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 way back in the old days of 2002. Back in the days of the battle dress uniform, the woodland camo, where that drill sergeant would look at you and he'd say, there's only one color here. There ain't black. There ain't white. There ain't brown. There ain't yellow. Woodland camo is the only color. Green. Army green. It doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter how you were raised. It doesn't matter if everyone back home said this color person is bad. Everyone back home said this color person is bad. Once you're here and you're in this uniform, this is your race. And then you turn around and explain how we were all just turds and, you know, if you're a white person, you're a turd who laid out in the sun, got all dry and crusty, and then the other races were whatever caused the turds to look like that. A very, very interesting turn in the conversation. That is how racism is fixed. If you see a problem, you don't just, well, there's a problem and I can't fix it. No. That's not being a leader when you see problems and you don't fix it. If you see problems and you do the passive aggressive, I'm going to bitch and piss and moan about it, even if it's where I can affect it at my level, but I'm not going to. I'm sorry. This colonel sounds like one of those, I've got the ability to fix it. I can send solutions up the chain, but I'm not going to. There are solutions I can instill at my level that, you know, I can share, hey, I implemented X, Y, and Z to mitigate this. So, you know, you should try it in your ranks. No, he didn't do any of that. He, like I said, he browbeats his fellow white colonels, and he would do the same thing with generals. And we keep moving this crap that gets instilled, you know, through liberal arts degrees that guys get, especially the ROTCers. They go to college, they get a liberal arts degree while doing ROTC, and then they go to OCS and commission into the Army. And even some of the civilian instruction coming from the military academies, pushing this woke revisionist history bullcrap. Whenever you have this going on that creates turmoil in the ranks, because you have people who push these agendas that's basically telling all white soldiers you are bad, telling black, you know, if a black leader is telling all of his black soldiers you are bad because X, Y, and Z, that is just as wrong. Now, don't get me wrong. I've seen black leaders who will let have a white soldier and a black soldier both commit an offense that triggers a serious incident report. And the black leaders allow white soldier to catch the full force of a field grade Article 15. Meanwhile, the black soldier who had had a similar serious incident report, somehow in the middle of all of his pre-trial stuff, well, pre-trial, going to trial defense services, looking at the Article 15, making sure everything is squared away. So in the middle of all this that leads up to a being read a field grade Article 15 by your battalion commander, it just disappears. There's no consequences whatsoever. Just, you know, for a while, he couldn't do anything. Wasn't allowed to drink because alcohol was related. You know, he wasn't restricted to base. He wasn't restricted to the barracks or the chow hall. They were just, couldn't drink. And then once it disappeared, yeah, he's back to drinking again. Meanwhile, The white guy, he got the 45 days restriction. He got the 45 days of restriction, extra duty. So for 45 days, 7 days a week for what, 6 weeks almost? Almost 7 weeks. He was working till from 1700 until, you know, 2359. All right, soldier, go to bed. That is a crappy deal. Oh, and let's not forget the loss of rank plus the loss of how much pay, not at his new rank of, I think he went from a specialist back to a private first class. Yeah, they only took one pay grade from him. So losing pay, I think, for 2 months. Half month's pay for 2 months at the E4 rate while being paid as an E3 for generally the same offense. Alcohol was involved, got rowdy, and there were MPs involved. So, yeah. Again, black leaders protect the black soldier, but they let the white guy, for the same offense, generally speaking, get thrown under the bus. It was absolute bullcrap. So, again, it comes down to affect what you can, fix what you can, influence what you can. Instead of just griping about how everything is bad, the whiteys are bad, it's all their fault, and then not actually doing anything to fix issues that seem to predominantly affect other people because, you know, blaming whitey is so much easier. All right, so that's going to wrap up this episode. Whew, yeah, I kind of got into the weeds there a little bit at the end, trying to reel it back in, but it is what it is. You know how I am. If you've been listening to me for any time over the last 4 years or so, you know I'm kind of woo at times. And so look, this the original glass, I have not refilled it during this filming. So, I got to thank you so much for listening, tuning in. Again, if you're watching this on YouTube, the replay there, be sure to subscribe, hit the subscribe button, then hit the bell, get notified whenever the new episodes post. Same thing on Rumble. Go to Rumble and search for The Tyler Morgan Show or Relentless Daring. It will bring you to the same place. And when you do, subscribe, hit the bell for notifications. If you're listening to this on podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, I would say Stitcher, but Stitcher no longer exists because they got sucked into, who did Stitcher get sucked into? Pandora. Yeah, Stitcher got sucked into Pandora, so everything's on Pandora now. I am there. Pandora, Amazon Music, you can find it on Audible. Because, you know, if you're subscribed to Amazon, you can find it on Audible. Yes. So awesome. And so many other smaller players that kind of feed off of the bigger players. But again, check it out. If you are a new listener, please hit the subscribe button. Once you do that, or follow. Weird, because Apple likes to follow. Subscribe is pay service. Which, if you want to pay for me, go to patreon.com/Tyler Morgan Show and become a patron. For as little as $5 a month, you will get access to, you know, ad-free episodes. If I'm able to score an interview with somebody, you'll have early access to the interview, what have you. So check it out, patreon.com/Tyler Morgan Show. Again, once you have subscribed, next thing I ask you to do is to rate it. Looking for 5 stars? I'll accept 4. 3 and below. 3 and below. We need to have a conversation because apparently we have some issues. Hit me up at Fake Tyler Morgan on the Twitters or at RD Media Pods. Also on the Twitters, X's, it's Twitter. It will always be Twitter. Suck it, Elon. Anyways, once you have rated it, and write a review. Say something nice. That way when it pops up as, well, you might like this show. People can check out the reviews, and people generally like it. Maybe they'll check it out. And anyways, it all comes down to those ratings, reviews. And finally, share this episode, share the podcast in general, send the link to a friend who you think will enjoy it. If you think this episode will make someone absolutely angry to the point where they're seeing red, they want to rip your face off, by all means, send it to that person too. I gladly irritate people on for you because, you know, it's one of the many services I am willing to offer as a dedicated infantry combat killer. Think about the acronym that makes up, that is made up from that expression, dedicated infantry combat killer. Again, thank you so much for listening. And as always, trying to find the right buttons here. I don't want to have any accidents like I did earlier. Ha! Stay relentless.
The Tyler Morgan Show is a Relentless Daring Media production. The Tyler Morgan Show is supported by its listeners. To support the show, go to ko-fi.com/Tyler Morgan Show to donate there, or relentlessdaring.com and hit the donate button at the top of the page to set up your donation. All music used in the Tyler Morgan Show is used with permission from purpleplanet.com, link in the show notes. 2 Timothy 1:7.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kyler Tsinis.
Kayla Itsinis. I'm Kyler Itsinis, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.